Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and as I said, welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. So nice to have you with us on Sundays as we walk through scriptures and short stories and illustrations that point only to the one and only, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, as it says in Psalm 95, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for it was his. It was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his fold. Father, as we come before you and bow down before you, we thank you that we can come before you. We thank you for the privilege of myself doing Sunday praise and encourage many and lift them up. And Father, we just think of your word. If you would encourage them through your word, Lord, which you always do, and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing. Sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Yes, my friend, he is coming. And he did come. Over 2,000 years ago, he came. He came by an unusual way, a way that you and I would never have thought of. Came as a baby in a manger. Imagine that, a baby in a manger, a helpless baby. God, Jesus Christ, who created the earth, came as a helpless baby in a manger. As we're entering into the Christmas season, I thought we'd start with a couple of songs about our Lord and Savior. And I think of the first one by Don Reeves, Mary's Little Baby, written and sung by Don. Mary's Little Baby. Next on Sunday Praise.
Unto us a child is born, the King of heaven is come. Jesus our Emmanuel, the Father's holy Son. A wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, come down to earth that we might live forever. Prophecies of old, so long ago foretold, the wondrous virgin birth of the Savior of the earth. Prophecy was fulfilled through God's own Holy shall be whiter than snow. In a lowly manger, Mary's little boy was praised by kings and shepherds while the angels sang for joy. Meek and mild and holy, not a mighty warrior king, Mary's little baby. But the Lord of everything. You're the Alpha and Omega, Messiah, chosen one, Mary's little baby, God's own holy son.
Beautiful song there, written and sung by Don Reeves, Mary's Little Boy, Baby. And I, as I was listening to it, I was thinking of all the scripture that's in there. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us, friends. For a child will be born to give us a son. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on forevermore. And I look at an article that explains a lot, written by Henry M. Morris, of Institute for Creation Research. And I think of the promise in Genesis 3:15. The promise was given by God in the garden. It's known as the first gospel. Scholars debate whether Adam and Eve would have recognized this as the first anticipation of the coming Christ. But the messianic overtones are unmistakable to believers today. Nevertheless, Adam and Eve knew. They knew their willful rebellion, and they knew it shattered the perfect relationship they had enjoyed with their Creator and ushered in our current world of sin, death, and decay. But thank God, even in the midst of pronouncing the curse, he lovingly offered a solution, a resolution. Thank God, when we get to heaven, we'll be made perfect. We'll know forgiveness. And we'll know how to forgive. And I think of Adam and Eve in heaven, and us in heaven looking at them saying, that's the couple over there. That's them over there that started all this. But no, there won't be any of that, my friends, because we'll be made perfect. We'll be like him. We'll see him as he is, Jesus Christ. The concept of the seed of the woman, it's noteworthy because it is unique. In all of Scripture, biologically, women produce no seed. And except in this case, the biblical usage speaks exclusively of the seed of man. Thus, the seed of the woman can only refer to the future descendant of Eve, who would have no human father. Moreover, such an extraordinary special seed would have to be miraculously embedded in the womb and would therefore bypass the innate sin nature that entered the world through Adam and Eve. And spread to all men. Yes, the absence of a sin nature would not spare the seed from encountering the sin which so easily ensnares us. Indeed, he was in all points tempted as we are, but lived a perfect life without sin. Hebrews 4:15. And in the process of time, this seed, who temporarily set aside the power and authority of his deity to come in the likeness of man, willingly became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Consequently, only this perfect and sinless seed would become the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, as it says in 1 John 2:2. At Calvary, that serpent of old, called the devil, inflicted a painful wound on the woman's seed and must have rejoiced greatly as his body was laid in the tomb. But having suffered once for sins, the long-promised seed was made alive by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18, and inflicted a mortal wound on the serpent by rising again on the third day, having conquered both sin and death. The seed fulfilled the prophecy first promised by God in the beginning, soon after creation. In this great seed of promise, we honor and worship at Christmas. He is so much more, dear friends, than a babe in the manger. I'll read that again. He is so much more than a babe in the manger. He is the very Creator, who was with God and was God, who made all things. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Let us read that. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that was Jesus Christ, my friend, he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And it was this same Creator who walked in the garden in the cool of the day and knowingly foretold the necessity of his own death for you and for me. From the very beginning, God graciously showed his great love for us, and according to the promise, he raised up for Israel a Savior. Acts 13:23 says, from the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought it to Israel, a Savior, Jesus. As Mr. Morris says, it is vitally important we do not forget exactly who went to the cross for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in Scripture as our Creator, our Savior, and our coming King. An interesting article, and I'd like to thank Institute for Creation Research for allowing me to read that article. A child is born. A child is given. And you know, friends, at this time of year, I really struggle. I really struggle because Christmas time is a wonderful time of year and people are feeling wonderful and they have their hearts softened somewhat, shall we say. And I look around and I see the materialism. I see the lack of understanding of what Christmas is all about. My heart breaks when I see that. And I think of many people think of, well, one thing, getting, and I hope giving as well. But friends, we got to think of a Savior of the world that came to earth. Because there was no hope for us. There was no hope. We were sitting in a hopeless situation without Jesus Christ. I look at Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, when we place our faith with Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then everybody talks about peace at Christmas time. And the average person, you see them scurrying around, running around, and there's no peace, no peace in their life. Verse 2, chapter 5 of Romans, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. So very important. That's what Christmas is about, my dear friends, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. Unto you is born this day. Oh, what a day. What a day. Foretold in ages long since past, by many prophets oft forecast, God's promises the world outlast. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a gift, an indescribable gift, my friend, from God the Father up in heaven, to sinful mortals, Satan's driven. A Savior, Christ the Lord, was given. Oh, oh, what a gift! Oh, what a babe! A child asleep on Mary's knee. Yet true incarnate, God was he, with goings forth eternally. Oh, what a baby! Oh, what a love! Born purposely for men to die, to save them, bless and glorify, and bear them to his home on high. Oh, what a love, what a love! What shall we do ere this glad Christmas tide is gone? Accept him now and love him on, his soulful praises ere prolong. This let us do, Pastor R. E. Niebuhr. Unto you is born this day a child. I think of another beautiful song we hear at Christmas, Christmas Only, by the Gatlin Brothers on Sunday Praise, dear friends. Sweet baby Jesus, who is fully God and fully man.
A childlike face through a crowd of thorns. A child shall lead them, a child who's born. In a Bethlehem stable, Mary gave birth. Bethlehem cradle, the hope of the earth. The glory of heaven shone in the light of the star of the King that first Christmas night. Sweet baby Jesus, child of God, King of kings. Stable has crumbled to dust. The nails they drove through his hands are now rust. Born to die, a carpenter's son. On a cross between thieves, when his work was done. And kings and kingdoms have come and they've gone, but the babe in the Bethlehem manger lives on. Sweet baby Jesus, child of God, King of kings.
Gatlin Brothers on Sunday Praise, and let those Christmas bells ring. Sweet, sweet baby Jesus. I look at Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 13. It says, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. And I think about that verse. Dear friends, he never gives up. Not on you, not on anybody. He never gives up. He's doing his best to destroy our testimony for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Isaiah 61, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him, and wondering at his gracious words, which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he said, Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you, in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years, and a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. She was also a Gentile. There were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. It wasn't too long before this, they were speaking well of him, all the wonderful and gracious words which were falling from his lips. And then when he mentioned these two Gentile people, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down over the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. A large crowd followed him, because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. And of course he fed many. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. Therefore they said to him, What shall we do, so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What then do you do for a sign? See, they were always testing him. So that we may see and believe you, what work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. He said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Then Jesus again, and as I go through John, Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And he was saying to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, What I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them but the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And he answered them. They answered him, rather, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, we will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen from my father, which there before you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. Verse 44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He's the father of lies. And I look at so many things, friends, as I walk through the scriptures. Jesus, he said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 9, verse 5. And then I look at John chapter 12, verse 46. It says, I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And I think of Christmas time this year, friends. You'll see all the lights and everybody will try to outdo everybody else by having more spectacular lights on their house. But friends, the light of the world is Jesus Christ. We got to look to that light. Jesus Christ, my friends. He is the light. He is the light of the world. He is also the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from him, my friends, we can do nothing. Nothing. And then I flip over to John chapter 20. In verse 26, it says, 8 days after his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. He hadn't been with them earlier. Having been shut and stood in their midst, and he said, peace, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands and reach here with your hand and put it in my side and do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And I think of seeing and believing. And friends, I pray, my prayer is that you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's who came in that manger, my friends. That's who came that day in the manger. And my friends, he came so that we can have life, and we can have eternal life. And there's coming a day, my friends, when that roll is called up yonder. We can be there. We can be there with Jesus Christ. And he's gone to prepare a place for us. And so I'm trying to explain who Jesus really is. And I want your eyes to be focused on the God of this world, the God that created this world. He created everything in this world, my friend. and you and I. And look to him. Look to him. It's wonderful to be sentimental at Christmas and love everybody, and it's just love, love, love. And then on Boxing Day, it's, what was that? What was that all about? No, friends. It's about Jesus. That's why I'm trying to explain it as best I can through the scriptures, through God's holy book. Dear friends, my name is Bill Craig, and you're listening on Joy Radio. And thank you so much for being with me. No, we're not leaving just yet, but still, we're about halfway. And I think of this next song, when that roll is called up yonder, dear friends, sing along and say, I'll be there, I'll be there.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder,
when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there. On the setting sun, let us talk of all his wonders, love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder,
when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And my friend, that's right out of the Bible. You heard that trumpet. You heard that trumpet sounding there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. I was at a funeral this week. The man was 82 years old. Born again Christian man. You could almost say it was a happy event. The family knew where he was, and they knew they'd see him again. Oh, there's sorrow, earthly sorrow, yes, of course. I'm not denying that. But when you look beyond, when that roll is called up yonder, they'll be there. The one I knew in the family knows Jesus Christ. I know he'll be there. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I come home from the funeral, and I was joyful. I said, what a wonderful message, the message was all about hope. And dear friends, that's what Christmas is about. It's hope, because Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay the price for you and me. We should have been on that cross. I have a short story here for you, and it makes me think of hope, and it makes me think of spiritual eyes, when our spiritual eyes are opened. It's a physical story, but it's representative of what I'm thinking about. Mum sat on a simulated leather chair in the doctor's office, picking nervously at her fingernails. Wrinkles of worry lined her forehead as she watched her five-year-old, little Kenny, sitting on the rug before her. He was small for his age and a little too thin. His fine blonde hair hung down smooth and straight to the top of his ears. White gauze bandages encircled his head, covering his eyes, and pinning his ears back. In his lap, he bounced a beaten-up teddy bear. It was the pride of his life. He was 5 years old. Yet one arm on the teddy bear was gone, and I imagine the teddy bear was pretty beat up, and one eye was missing. Twice his mom tried to throw the bear away to replace it with a new one. "Here's a brand new one, Kenny." And, "No thanks, Mom. No, I want old Gurr." He called him Gurr. She looked at him, tipped her head slightly to the side, and smiled at him. She thought, well, it's all he has for now. A nurse appeared in the doorway. "Kenny Ellis, please," the nurse announced, and the young mother scooped up the boy and followed the nurse toward the examination room. The hallway smelled of rubbing alcohol and bandages, and children's crayons and drawings lined the wall. "The doctor will be with you in a moment," the nurse said with an efficient smile. "Please be seated." The mother placed Kenny on the examination table, and she said, be careful, honey, do not fall." And the little guy said to Mom, he said, am I up very high, Mom?" "No, dear, but be careful." Kenny hugged his little teddy bear a little tighter. He said, "I don't want Gurface to fall either." Mom smiled. The smile twisted at the corners into a frown of concern. She brushed the hair out of the boy's face and caressed his cheek, soft as thistledown, with the back of her hand. As the office music drifted into a haunting version of Silent Night, she remembered the accident for the 1,000th time. She had been cooking things on the back burner for years, but there it was, sitting right out in front, the water almost boiling for oatmeal. The phone rang in the living room. It was another one of those free offers that usually cost too much. At the very moment she returned the phone to the table, Kenny screamed in the kitchen, the galvanized cry of pain that frosts a mother's veins. She winced again at the memory of it and brushed aside a tear slipping down her cheek. 6 weeks, they said. You'll have to wait 6 weeks for the bandages to come off. That's the week before Christmas. The door to the examination room swept open and Dr. Harris came in. "Good morning, Mrs. Ellis," he said brightly. "How are you today?" "Fine, thank you," she said, but she was too apprehensive for small talk. Dr. Harris bent over the sink and washed his hands carefully. He was cautious with his patients, but careless about himself. He could seldom find time to even get a haircut, and his straight black hair hung a little long over his collar. "Now then," he said, sitting down on the stool, "let's have a look. Let's have a look at this little guy." Gently he snipped at the bandage with scissors and unwound it from Kenny's head. The bandage fell away, leaving two flat squares of gauze taped directly over the little lad's eyes. Dr. Harris lifted the bandage of the tape, slowly cutting, not to hurt the boy's tender skin. Kenny slowly, slowly opened his eyes, blinked several times as if the sudden light hurt. Then he looked at his mom and he grinned. He said, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom." Choking and speechless, the mother threw her arms around Kenny's neck. For several moments, she could say nothing as she hugged the boy and wept in thankfulness. Finally, she looked at Dr. Harris. With tear-filled eyes, the boy could see. You see, he could see. She said, "I don't know how we'll ever be able to pay you," she said. The doctor interrupted with a wave of his hand. "I know how things are for you and Kenny, and I'm glad I could help." The mother dabbed at her eyes with a well-used handkerchief, stood up and took Kenny's hand, but just as she turned toward the door, Kenny pulled away and stood up for a long moment, looked uncertainly at the doctor. Then he held his teddy bear up by its one arm to the doctor. "Here," he said, "you can have my Gurr face for Christmas. He ought to be worth a lot of money." Dr. Harris quietly took the broken bear in his two hands. "Thank you, Kenny. This will more than pay for my services." The last few days before Christmas was especially good for Kenny and his mum. They sat together in the long evenings, watching the Christmas tree lights and the on and off lights. Bandages had covered Kenny's eyes for 6 weeks. He seemed even reluctant to close them in sleep. The fire dancing in the fireplace, the snowflakes sticking to his bedroom windows, the small packages under the tree, all the lights and the colors of holiday fascinated him. Then on Christmas Eve, it doesn't sound like there was a dad there. The doorbell rang. She answered the doorbell, but no one was there. But a large box was on the porch, wrapped in shiny gold paper, with a broad red ribbon and a bow and a tag attached to the bow identified the box intended for Kenny Ellis. With a grin, Kenny tore the ribbon off the box and lifted the lid and pulled out the teddy bear. His beloved Gurr face! Only now it had a new arm, a brown corduroy in it. Kenny didn't seem to mind that the new arm did not match the other one. He just hugged his teddy bear and laughed. Among the tissue in the box, the mother found a card. "Dear Kenny, I can sometimes help put boys and girls back together, but Mrs. Harris had to help me on this one to repair Gurr face. She's better bear doctor than I am. Merry Christmas. God bless you, Dr. Harris." "Look, Mom," Kenny smiled, pointing to the button eyes. "Gurr face can see again, just like me." And friends, I think of Christmas, and I think of that precious story. Jesus Christ came to this earth, so we can see again, so we can have our spiritual eyes opened up. And I look at, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what's the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And as I said earlier, that's the hope of Christmas, my friends. And as I mentioned earlier, I was at a funeral this week, but I went out of there with such hope. Yes, there was earthly sorrow, but they knew they would see him again. There's our hope, friends. Jesus Christ came to this earth so you and I could have so much hope. And then someday, when that roll is called up yonder, which we just heard by Mark Gray on Sunday Praise, we can sing along with, well, I hope you sing along right now, with the Hoppers, and say, "Here I am, here I am." As little Gurr face was put back together, the good Lord someday, my dear friends, is going to put us back together. Going to put us back together. It says in 1 Thessalonians, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep." Christians are never dead. They're asleep, you see. "So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Without Jesus, there's no hope, my friend. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord." I love the last verse, "Comfort one another." Comfort one another with these words. And dear friends, these are comforting words. These are comforting words. And Christmas is a comforting time when we get the true perspective and the true definition, true understanding of Christmas, my dear friends. And I pray that you'll be able to sing, when the time comes, this song.
I've answered the roll all my life, but there's one more roll call I'm going to answer to. It's not going to be very long. The Bible says when Gabriel blows the trumpet, we rise to meet him in the air. We're going to be changed in a split second from here to there. Listen.
On that resurrection morning, when the redeemed are gathering in, I'll be in that royal number when they call my name. When they all join in and sing hallelujah to the King, I'll cry with a joyful sound, for here I am, here I am.
Trumpet, and we rise up in the air in less time than a split second. We'll all be changed from here to there.
Hoppers on Sunday Praise, and here I am, here I am. And I think of this short life here, dear friends. As the older you get, the more you realize that time goes faster, and it is short. It is a short life. A.B. Simpson, a great pastor from years ago, said, "I want in this short life of mine as much as can be pressed, of service true for God and man, help me to do my best. I want to stand when Christ appears and hear my name, and my name confessed, numbered among the hidden ones, his holiest and best. He'll be yelling, 'Here I am. I want among the victor throng to have my name confessed, and hear my master say at last, well done, you did your best. Give me, O Lord, the highest choice. Let others take the rest. Their good things have no charm for me, for I gave thee my best.'" A.B. Simpson says, "When a soldier, Roman soldier, was told by his guide that if he insisted on taking a certain journey, it would probably be fatal, he answered, 'It is necessary for me to go. It is not necessary for me to live.' That was depth. When we are convicted like that, we shall come to something, something beautiful. The shallow nature lives in its impulses, its impressions, intuitions, its instincts, and very largely in its surroundings. The profound character looks beyond all these and moves steadily on, sailing past all the storms and clouds into the clear sunshine, which are always on the other side, and waiting for the afterwards, which always brings the reversion of sorrow, seeming defeat and failure. When God has deepened us, then he can give us his deeper truths, his profoundest secrets, and his mightier trusts. Lord, lead me into the depths of thy life and save me from a shallow experience. And as we look at getting into this Christmas season, oh, may we look to that babe in the manger who is God, truly God. And dear friends, because he lives, we have hope, hope for tomorrow.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, that calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. My life is worth the living because he lives.
Gerald Evans and Paradise, and that beautiful song written by Bill and Gloria Gaither, Because He Lives, Because He Lives. And I look at that babe in the manger. She gave birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room, no room for them in the inn. And I think of this Christmas, friends. Not long ago, well, this is 60, 70 years ago, a professor of psychology at a university gave a word suggestion test to his class of 40 students. He instructed them to write the word Christmas. And all the class did so. And right after the word Christmas, the first thought that flashes into your mind regarding that day. When the papers were turned in, such answers were given as tree, holly, mistletoe, presents, turkey, holidays, Christmas carols, and Santa Claus. Not one had written the birthday of Christ, the hope of the world. And dear friends, He is the hope of the world. My name is Bill Craig. You've been listening to Sunday Praise on Joy Radio. Dear friends, tell somebody about the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. Especially at this Christmas time. Christmas is a difficult time for many. There's many lonely. Reach out to them. God bless you, dear friends. We love you. And we thank you for listening. And Lord willing, we'll be back again next week.
C is for the Christ child born upon this day. H is for herald angels in the night. R means our Redeemer. S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger. Came, and that's why there's a Christmas day. T is for three wise men, they who travel far. M is for the manger. And that's why there's a Christmas day.
Christmas day.
And